process-driven culture. And as I mentioned earlier this week, you know, we need to play complementary football. And we have to do it for four quarters. And it was crystal clear today, you know, what we've been talking about and what we're striving for. In the first half, we played complementary football. We did offense, defense, and special teams. You know, guys playing hard. We had execution. And, you know, we were able to have success. Okay? In the second half, we did not do that. Okay? We weren't able to really do anything on offense. You know, defensively, we gave up plays. And then on special teams, you know, we gave up a touchdown, which was a momentum play, and was a huge play in the game. And so, but you know, like I told our players, you know, when we went into this week, and at the hotel before the game, and in the locker room before the game, I told them, I said, listen, all we're asking you to do, all I want you to do, is go out there and play as hard as you possibly can, be as physical as you possibly can, and trust your training and execute. And do it for 60 minutes, four quarters in the game. And play the next play and don't look at the scoreboard. That's what we're asking you to do, okay? And I felt like they played hard. But I told them, I said, but that's not a moral victory. It's not a moral victory, but it just goes to show you that, you know, what we're capable of doing. Going into the game, I felt like we had a team that could win. They could win this game. At halftime, I felt like we had a team that could win the game. Felt good about our football team and about what we could do. And after the game, I felt the same way about this football team. I feel that we can do some good things and that we can win some games and that we have a bright future. And then we continue to hammer the process that we're going to get there, and we're going to continue to recruit, you know, like maniacs, you know, to be able to improve and help our team, you know. But it's a very disappointing locker room, very disappointing coaching staff. But there's no lack of motivation right now. You know, for us, we just need to figure out, you know, hopefully we'll find out pretty soon who we play next so we can get ready. But and give Penn State credit. They're well coached. They have some good players, and they did what they needed to do in the second half to come back and close the game out. So you know, my hat goes off to Coach Franklin, his staff, and their team. You know, they beat us today. So with that, I'll open up for questions.
Our first question is from Matt Charbonneau with the Detroit News.
Mel, I'm wondering if emotionally a game like this is tougher to handle when you, for a half, you play like you're the better team, you're kind of in control, and then you just can't sustain it in the second half. Is it tougher or more frustrating emotionally to have a game like that where you feel like it's all going right and then it just doesn't keep going?
No, I mean it's frustrating anytime you – I wouldn't use the word frustration. It's disappointing. You can't really afford to get frustrated, because frustrated doesn't really do anything for you. I mean, there's nothing, there's no production out of it. It's just more of, you know, there's a disappointment of you know, we didn't get it done, and we know what we needed to do to get it done. You know, but you know, I've been doing this. This is my 24th year coaching. I've coached well over 300 games, and you know, there's no such thing as a safe lead, especially in college football. We all know you got to play for 60 minutes. You got to play for four quarters. You know, and that was our mentality. You know, at halftime, it's 0-0. We got to go out here and start fast. We talk about the 10 minutes to win, the 5 minutes before the half, okay, and the 5 minutes after the half. A lot of games are won and lost in that 10 minute span, and we really focused on that. In that 5 minutes before the half, we felt like we did some good things. The 5 minutes after the half, we didn't. then, you know, that was a big, huge factor in the game, you know. But like I said, it doesn't take the win out of the sales. I mean, if you're a competitor, okay, you know, you're just more motivated. You know, you're more motivated. I mean, if you do good, you do some good things, you want to do more good things. So how do we do more good things? Well, we got to go back to work, you know. So, you know, the motivation and the drive and the determination and the grit is there. And that's how, and those things is what's going to get our program turned in the direction it needs to go. We're trying to turn our program.
One other quick thing offensively in the second, other than that first drive, you weren't really able to sustain drives. Could you notice anything from the sideline that was different in that second half? Was it execution, do you think? What changed in the second half to keep you from being able to sustain some of those drives?
It was absolutely execution. You know, from our standpoint, we see obviously, you know, I think they were maybe a little more aggressive, but you know, there was plays to be made, and we still made plays in the second half. We just weren't able to make them on a consistent basis. You know, so, you know, give them credit. They played better. Penn State played better in the second half than we did. But you turn on a film, it's always execution. You know, very rarely do you just get overwhelmed by someone else's talent. You know, I don't think it was that. You know, but again, you know, I got to pull out the laptop on the plane, and we got to take a look at it and see exactly what it was, and we got to see what we can do to help them, help our guys, and put them in better position. And then, like I told them in the locker room just now, and they got to do what they got to do as players, you know, to internalize these things, and figure out what they need to do, you know. How we make these corrections, how we move forward, you know, this week, you know, to get better. And I really believe these guys are gonna do that. I know this team a lot better than I knew them months ago when we started. Okay, and these guys they are coachable, they will listen, and they will work. You know, they will work. They take coaching. Okay, and that's what we need, and we'll figure out a way to get it done.
Our next question will go to Chris Solari with the Detroit Free Press.
Mel, I know without having seen the tape yet, I wonder if you could assess Peyton's day, kind of the two half performance there, and what his week was like, and what Rocky's status is at this point.
Yeah, you know, I really need to see the tape before I can start to really just, you know, break down a quarterback's, you know, performance, because there's so many things that go into, you know, a play, especially in the passing game, in terms of the protection, what coverage, do we run the proper route, you know, did he read it out correctly, you know, all those types of things, you know. But I can tell you that he was poised, and that he seemed to be he wasn't rattled, and he was into the game, and he was aware, you know, the entire game, start to finish. Even when we started slow, he was still, you know, he was there, you know, and that's good to see. You know, he had a good look in his eye, and you know, he was into the game. You know, Rocky, you know, he'll be ready when he's ready.
As a follow, as a completely different follow, there was a penalty on that you took on 3rd and 7 that ended up being the field position ended up leading to that first touchdown. I guess was that the thought on taking that penalty when they were short? I kind of wanted to see if you could walk through that.
I'm not sure.
It was right before the first touchdown. It was 3rd and 7. And you took a penalty. I think they were short of the sticks on the play that Clifford ran out of bounds and got hurt right before the beginning of the second quarter.
Yeah, he said we took the penalty and moved them back.
Yes.
We're playing for field position.
Okay, that's what I wanted to check. Thanks.
Yes, sir.
All right, our next question is from Matt Wenzel at M Live.
And hey, we didn't see Jordan Simmons the last couple of weeks, and he comes back today, and I think that was the career high for him and as far as total yards and yards per carry. What did you see from him today in his ability? Because he looked like he was running the ball as good as he had all year.
Yeah, well, he's got a good burst through the hole and acceleration, and that's what we need. He's got really good quickness, and when you hand him the ball, and there's a hole there, he's gonna hit it. And especially when you play good teams, those holes aren't open very long. So you got to get there. You got to hit it. And he's got runs with good power level. He drives his legs, and he's been good with ball. He's been good with ball security. There was one there where I thought he popped it, and I think he stumbled. I thought he was going to go for six. So, he did a good job when he was in there. Get healthy and get back.
You mentioned, getting to know your opponent soon. When do you anticipate finding out who you play next week? What have you been told about where the game will be possibly? And how do you guys, what are the next steps from there tomorrow?
Yeah, I really haven't been told anything. I was just asking that, just now, and I don't know. So, we'll find out when we find out, and once we find out, then, we'll there's a process of, in terms of quality control and things like that, and preparation. So, we'll be on the phone today, and I'll be asking a lot of questions. We'll be making some calls, and we might not be able to narrow it down. We might not know tonight, but we might be able to narrow it down to, three or four teams. And then, we have staff that we can just start working to break down those games and be in position to do that. So we're going to work as much as we can, even if we have to try to break down, multiple teams, whatever it takes, because once we get the word on who we're going to play, then the clock starts ticking, and then we got to have a scouting report, and we got to have all the plays broken down to give our guys a chance. We got to find out what day we're going to play. We're going to have a short week, or we're going to have a normal week. I haven't been told anything, but it doesn't matter. It's going to, at some point we'll get a date, we'll get a team, we'll get a date, and then we'll get ready to go.
No.
Our next question goes to Eli with the State News.
Hey, Mel, I wanted to ask about your wide receivers and kind of some of your skill positions on the offense. In the first half, they're able to make some plays. Ricky White's out with a couple injuries. But I want to ask, how optimistic are you in the future with a bunch of young guys like that who are able to make some plays? And then how do you develop some consistency so they can go drive to drive, half to half, and continue to have those type of games throughout an entire performance?
Yeah, we've been optimistic about our receiving crew all year. And we worked it to develop guys. I mean, like you see, Big Morgan, showed up today. And, Montori has been out there. We've developed some more tight ends that can go out there and they go out there and play. And so, Ricky's been out. At some point, he'll be back. And so we feel like we got some weapons out there. And we've been talking about this. I believe I mentioned this earlier in the week. I'm not sure if I have, but I talked to the team about it again today. How do you get consistency in performance? There's four levels of competency. I'm not going to go through all that and bore you guys with it, but there's four levels and we're right in between like three and four. And like that third level of competency is that you're having success but you're not exactly sure why. And then if you're having success, you're doing some good things, but you're not exactly, if you're not 100% sure why it's happening, then you can't repeat it. It's hard to repeat it, And so, we have some guys, or we're at a point where maybe we can do some good things, but we're not exactly sure why. And that's where we got to really drill down as players and coaches and make sure everyone understands this is why this play worked. This is why you were able to make this catch. This is why you were able to make this run. This is why you were able to make this block. This is why you were able to make this open field tackle. Okay. And then the fourth level of competency is that you know what to do, and you know why you're having success. Okay. You know why you're having success. And so then it's repeatable. It's repeatable and you can be consistent, but even at that, it's still not enough. Because even if you know and you know why you know, you still got to do it, and you got to do it every day. So, you know, our team, you know, is really, you know, in, you know, between level 3 and level 4 with different guys, you know, and collectively as a team, and that's the state of our team right now, and that's where the rubber meets the road. And so we got to really grind and drill down and really be very, very detailed in our teaching. And our players have to be very detailed, you know, in their learning and very receptive and really internalize, you know, what they're getting so that we can have a clear understanding of how to be successful on a consistent basis, you know, within our skill set, within our talent level, you know. So, and then, like I said, we got to recruit like crazy, you know, because we need to be able to have more competitive practices. The more good players you have in practice, the more competitive the practices are, and the more the practices become more like games, you know. And then and ultimately you want your practices to be harder than the games. And then when you add more, you get more good players to the mix, you know, and then you build your team. We have a better football team, you know. So. And that's really where we are right now. That's how you become more consistent. A lot of it is mental. You know, some of it's physical, a lot of it is mental.
Thanks, Matt.
All right, we had time for two final questions. We'll start with Lindsey Huddleston and wrap up with Graham Couch. Lindsey.
Thank you, Mel. Tough outing today. Can you talk about Jalen Naylor? There was a play that there was a Penn State interception, but he ended up causing the fumble. It was a huge momentum shift. Can you talk about what that kind of play means for the program and what someone like Jalen is contributing to the program right now?
Yeah, it means a lot. You know, Jalen is growing as a player, and, you know, he's actually becoming a leader, not just a playmaker, but he's starting to lead. He plays with confidence, you know, and we can see he's not just a deep threat. You know, he can make some intermediate catches with his hands and things like that. And then we talk about ball security all the time. We show them plays of our opponent, and every week we show them NFL takeaways and ball security issues. And we've been doing that all year. And, you know, we even went back and showed them when in 2002 when Maurice Claret, when Sean Taylor, you know, God rest his soul, when he intercepted the ball and Maurice Claret went and took it back, that was a huge momentum play in the game. We showed him multiple plays of the great receiver that was from Alabama that plays at with the Falcons, okay, where he, on a consistent basis, would be an interception. He'd run guys down and take the ball back, you know, strip the ball, you know. So that's the mentality of, hey, go get it back, you know, go hunt the ball down. And then and then on the other side of it, we're teaching our defensive players, when we do get the ball, you got to keep the ball high and tight and don't give it back to them, you know. And so, you know, that's just a sign of aggressiveness and a want to factor, you know, like a care factor. What is your care factor, you know, on a takeaway like that? And his care factor, his want to factor, you know, on a play like that is a 10, you know. And that's competing, That's what we're asking our guys to do. Play as hard as you can possibly play, play aggressively as you can possibly play, you know, and give it everything you got, and good things happen, you know. And so, you know, that was, you know, he's growing as a player. I really like him, and I like what he has to offer. I think he's got a bright future. We just got to keep chopping.
Great, thank you.
And our final question will go to Graham Couch.
Hey, Mel, I want to stay on Jalen quickly there. You've obviously been a defensive coordinator a lot of places. Is he reaching the point as a receiver where defenses will have to game plan much more around him? And what does that do for the rest of the offense if that starts to happen?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what some of these guys defensively, what they're thinking or how they see him as a player. I know when I talked to him during the game, you know, he said that he was getting a lot of soft coverage, you know, and so we were able to hit him underneath, you know, and then he was able to catch the ball, tight turn, you know, get some yards after the catch and things like that. He's got to be able to do that. He's got to be able to work underneath. And then, you know, we all know that, you know, that he can run by people as well. So, you know, maybe people are going to have to decide how they can play, how they're going to have to play them. Depends on who they have to match up against them. You know, if they got a first round pick guy lined up over them, maybe they feel like they can handle him one-on-one, or they can play him however they want to play him. If they don't, they may feel like they have to do something else. It depends on who else we got on the field with them as well. You know,
I want to ask you also quickly about Peyton and what you were thinking with that offense as it was rolling there in the late first, second quarter. And you haven't seen your offense go like that for a bit. What's going through your mind when you're seeing it click for the first time in weeks?
Same thing as seeing practice. There's nothing that happens on the field that we don't see in practice. Even when Rocky was in there. I mean, there's no surprises. Even with, like, Trayvon, you know, I told, you know, the past couple weeks he's been coming on. I said, hey, we're going to put, I asked him last night, I said, we're going to put Harold Carmichael in the game. And they're like, everybody's like, yeah, coach, we're going to put Harold Carmichael in the game. And the reason why is because he had done some things in practice and he had his opportunity, you know. So, you know, the plays that we run in practice and are successful are the plays that we decide to run in the game. If those plays don't look good in practice, we don't call them, you know. So, you know, it's all about execution, taking it from the meeting room to the practice field and taking it to the game. Like I tell guys, 2 + 2 = 4, it's not going to change. So if we got competitive practices and they're giving us the same looks in practice, in the games that they're giving us in practice, then why should it change? You know,
Have you seen those sort of things in practice from Peyton before this past week, like earlier in the season, that sort of stretch of play and rhythm?
Yeah, he's improved and he's done some good things, you know, and like we had a competition for the spot, you know, and he's continued to get better and he's a competitor, you know, and so I wasn't surprised by anything that I saw out of him today, you know. It's you know, he can do some good things, you know. Each one of our quarterbacks, and I told those guys that early in the year, like during camp, you know, we had four guys on scholarship with Theo and Noah Kim. I say each one of you guys have some redeeming qualities, and that's how you got here to Michigan State, and that's why you're on scholarship. So it's just a matter of developing and then competing, you know, and getting better. And then, you know, we'll see where that goes. And I told them we need everyone, you know. And so they all compete, they all want to play. You can only play one guy at a time. But, you know, to Peyton's credit, you know, he's continued to work, you know, to work hard, you know, to get to the point where he can go into the game and he can execute, you know. And he got into a game earlier this year, you know, and did a couple things that were decent. And I thought that he's progressed since then. He's developed since then. And Theo was the next man up today, you know. And then Noah was behind him. So guys have to continue to take coaching, practice, compete, get better. Because you never know when your opportunity is going to come. When your opportunity comes, then you want to be ready. You want to be ready to come through and get the job done. Now we didn't win today, okay? We didn't win today. So, you know, there are some bright spots, but as a football team, we didn't get it done. So it wasn't good enough in any offense, defense, or special teams. It was just not good enough, period. You know, so we all need to get better.
All right, Coach, that's all the questions we have for you today. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for showing up. I appreciate you guys' questions. I appreciate your interest. Get our message out to our fans, and we'll figure out who we're going to play. We'll get back to work. Thank you so much.